All right, let's pray and let's jump into this for training school. Father, I always just bless you as always, and we just come to you to seek your presence and seeking wisdom and understanding on today. And we bless you in advance for it. And we just declare that everything you reveal to us, we will put it into action. And we just bless you for all things. Thank you for your Son, our Savior. And thank you for your Spirit leading and guide us in all truth. In his name we do pray. Amen. All right, we're gonna continue on with John chapter 1. Kind of heading out of here now. I feel better about where we are with John chapter 1. Obviously, feels better about how we're coming into our understanding of things. I want to just remind you in the lessons that we do, just remember the processes by which we come into an understanding of the scriptures, and but at the same time, you have to also understand that that teaching the scriptures like this is very controversial, and the reason why is because it goes against what is considered the norm. There are things that's that I've come into an understanding over the years from just looking at, and if you pay, maybe after I mentioned it, you pay attention to it, if you still do this. But if you watch, Christian television, at all, you will see a pattern. All of these preachers, there's a specific pattern that you see in their teaching. In other words, the doctrine is pretty much the same. And if you or we go outside those doctrines, then there's persecution. And what I mean by persecution, these people are you have gatekeepers that's also a part of your Christian networks, and these gatekeepers, what they'll do is if your doctrine is different from theirs, or if there are some things that you expose, if it goes against the agenda, then you won't be given a platform. Thank you. What we have to be willing to do is to continue to teach the scriptures according to the way we understand about allowing the scriptures to interpret them interpret themselves, regardless of the persecution or ridicule that we'll go through. You have to understand, when I mention the word gatekeepers, you have to understand that there are people who are in positions in all walks of life, for lack of a better way to put it, that are there specifically to uphold an agenda. Now, just to give you an example as far as this is concerned, and you see what I'm talking about. Now, I don't teach certain topics. And the reason why I don't teach these topics is because you cannot find. I'm not going to say topic. I don't think it's a good word to use. I don't teach certain words. You'll never hear me say certain words over the pulpit, so to speak. You never hear me teach on certain words. And the reason why you never see or hear me teach on certain words is because if those words are not identified in scriptures, then I don't bother teaching them. The rapture is one. I may use rapture as a reference or a topic because other people teach it, but I'll use it in a manner to show that the Bible calls it the gathering. It's just what it's called. It's called the gathering. And if you do your research on the gathering, it's there. Thessalonians talk about it, for instance. Let me just pull up another Bible just to show you. And then there's a reason why Yah has me going this way. See if it's in. Sometimes I get them mixed up. I think it's in 2 Thessalonians instead of 1. 2 Thessalonians 2. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, Yehoshua Mashiach," Jesus the Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach, "and by our gathering together unto him." That's why I call it the gathering. It's scriptural. You can actually see it. And so when you look at the word gathering together, it means assembling, a complete collection. Yah is going to send Christ to completely collect the remnant of his people. You see it in Matthew 24, Luke 21. The scriptures are there to confirm this gathering. Isaiah 11 talks about the gathering. Just to pull up another book, just to show you the reason why I don't call it the gathering. It just would be so easy if we just call things what the scriptures call it. And when we do that, it doesn't open the door for a dispute. And what I mean by dispute, people may say, he's not telling the truth, but they can't put scripture alongside of the fact that they're saying he's not telling the truth. People will call you a liar, but if they can't prove your lie, then it's just he say, she say. And we live in a society where people are proving things. People are being found guilty and accused of things that there is no proof of. We live in that society. I don't know if you've been hearing about what is his name? The singer. R. Kelly. Have you been hearing about the situation with R. Kelly? Oh, they about ready to throw that stuff out. They sending it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is basically saying to these folks, they like, look, y'all have convicted a man. You have convicted a man without showing any evidence of what he's accused of. In other words, they convicted him because, and I like how it went to the Supreme Court or something like that because it was multiple judges. And they were saying in a nutshell that, because I watched a little bit of it, and I think it's coming up again. So they was like, you basically, talking to the attorney, like, you basically convicted this guy based upon showing evidence that he's a bad person. And they say, you can't convict a person of a crime by proving that they just a bad person. That's the bottom line. All y'all prove is just he's a bad person. But you never proved that he did not one thing that you said he did. There's no proof. You got to have evidence. You got to have DNA evidence. You got to have concrete evidence to accuse a man of doing what you said that you did. But we live in a society like that, where a person can just point at you and say, "You slapped me," and they'll put you in jail.
You convicted in the court of public opinion.
Public opinion. That's what they did. They did the Bill Cosby. They did the R. Kelly. And I'm not saying they're innocent. I'm just saying you didn't prove. They didn't prove what they said that they did. Okay? And so that's what's going on as far as society is concerned. And so what you have to understand is that when you teach the scriptures, there are people who are going to accuse you of being a specific individual because you teach this way. When you teach this way, you're going against the grain. And when you go against the grain, people are going to start accusing you of things. They're going to start calling you false prophet. They're going to start saying we're a cult. They're going to start saying all these different things like the same way they said concerning Christ. They call him a devil. They call him a false prophet. They call him he casts out devils by Beelzebub. They call him all kinds of things. But yet, who he was, the Son of God, sent to bring light into the world. Now, he said clearly, he said, now they're going to hate you for my name's sake. Be careful when the world love you. He said, but when you teach truth and when you deal with truth, you're going to experience conflict. The disciples weren't walking around here getting pat on the back by TBN and CNN and EBN and all them other ends. And they weren't being put on the Christian network. And they weren't, you know, they weren't being called to preach all over the world, you know, by these other folks who lacked the stuff that they were saying. They didn't get invited to the Pharisee church. Most of the time they were told to shut up and they were being run out of places, being put in prison, being beaten. You know, Christ was taken, you know, they tried to kill Christ so many times, it's ridiculous. Read John 1. Read all the books of the entire book of John chapter 1. They tried to kill him so many times it was ridiculous. And so what we have to understand is that in doing this, it's going to cause conflict. It's going to cause issues, and people are going to call you all kinds of names. And so you're going to have tough skin. Now to show you here where it says in Second Thessalonians 2, it says gathering together. When they look at gathering together, it says a complete collection, assembling. It is the same thing in the Old Testament. Isaiah 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble, gather, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Yah is going to gather us as a nation of people. He getting everybody, crazy Leroy, you know, everybody. See, that's the thing that's so crazy about this, because we think that he's coming back only to get the saved folks. No, he's coming back to get the house of Israel, all Israel. Like the same way we all came out of Egypt, we are all coming out of all lands, four corners of the earth, just like the scripture says. Okay, now, I'm not focusing on that. I just wanted to point that out, that is the gathering. So we are to understand, don't go around talking about no rapture. That is a doctrine that a bunch of folks have gotten together and they have agreed upon, and it's part of an agenda. It's part of a systematic agenda that keeps us now relaxed and thinking we just waiting on somebody to come scoop us up and take us to heaven. And we don't worry about the work of the kingdom. We're not working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because we think we got our cookie and our ticket. We think we got our ticket in the hand and we all good. That's what we're not concerned about people. We're not concerned about preaching truth. All we're concerned about is, okay, did the tithe come in so that we can have enough money to keep the lights on? Can we build a new church? And all such got 20 members. They got 20 members over here. Let's go out and try to get 25 because we want to have the biggest church in the city. Nobody got time for all that stuff. That's agenda. That's flesh stuff. Christ had 12 and turned the world upside down. I don't need a whole lot. I just need 12 with some sense to accomplish the goal that Yah has given us as far as the ministry is concerned. It ain't about the quality. The quantity is about the quality of the church. I'm looking for a quality church. Okay? And so these things have to be understood, and we got to be dedicated to teaching the truth and walking in that truth no matter what. You had something? Okay, no matter what, we got to be dedicated, and we got to stick with this truth, and we got to be sure of what we're doing and what we're called to do and things like that. Back to the gatekeepers. What these people do is they have a specific doctrine. The rapture is one of the doctrines. So if all of us can, all of us, metaphorically speaking, can agree that there's a rapture, then we'll put you on TBN and all these CNNs and all these other ends. I don't know all of them. They star in all these other things. I don't watch them now. It's kind of like stepping back in time, so I don't worry about it. Sometimes I just listen to kind of see what a growth is as far as the body is concerned. But I'd be like, okay, I don't want no milk. I'm on meat now. I don't, that's why I struggle going to Atlanta every year, because it's like I'm going back in time. I've been here and done that. Okay, come on. Let's talk about some meat of the word. Well, again, there are certain words that I don't use. But this systematic gatekeeper agenda, at the top, it is ungodliness. It is led by ungodliness. But at the same time, through the masses, you see the symbol of Christ. Now, to show you how this agenda is ungodly, and then also to confirm why certain words I don't teach, like rapture is one, I don't teach. You never hear me say across the pulpit homosexuality. It's not in the Bible. I will talk about unnatural affection. So when you start dealing with catchwords and things like that, when you start going and talking about things that the modern day term uses, then we sit ourselves up because although there are things in the scripture that points out certain things being an abomination, we have to teach what the scripture says instead of teaching the terms that people use. That's why I don't teach the rapture, I teach the gathering, because I can go to the Bible and show people where the gathering is. I don't teach the word homosexual, but I will go to the scriptures and talk about unnatural affection, because there are things in there, are words in the Bible that gives the definition, and there are certain things that the scripture said that will point out what is necessary to bring about the truth. Without now stirring up some things as far as these gatekeepers are concerned. Now, what they do is, because you have wickedness at the top, they have gotten now, because all the preachers now have to pretty much be on the same page. And so because you have these gatekeepers there, what they'll do is they will get a big name preacher, and they'll put them on display, because now you have an individual who is unlike, I have to say it this way, who is unlike Christ. And what I mean by that is, Christ didn't have a reputation. Christ wasn't concerned about what people thought about him. He was concerned about pleasing the Father. Well, you get some people who get in positions, and they, certain platforms, and they may actually, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, they may actually love Yah, but because they're on a specific platform, they're put on that platform, and put in a position where they can't say what they really want to say, but they have to say what is necessary in order to please the audience that want to hear that, and then also still look saved. So when you ask them specific questions, they will cater to what the scripture calls ungodliness instead of just flat out telling them what the scripture says in reference to that thing according to the scriptures. Yes.
So in other words, preach them happy.
Preach them happy. I'm gonna say just enough to keep the folks who don't like, keep the folks who like that or like this or like whatever. I'm gonna say just enough to keep them happy, and I'm gonna say just enough to keep the saved folks happy too. Lukewarm. Y'all say, I wish you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. And since you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. One of the things y'all cannot stand is for us to be double-minded. We have to be direct with what we mean. We have to be, and the reason why is because the scripture is direct in what it means. If it comes across as not being direct in what it means, then the problem is not with the scripture. The problem is with our understanding. We need to continue to search things out. Okay, so these things have to be understood, and we have to be willing to teach these scriptures, and if you follow the formula, I just call it the formula for lack of a better way to put it, if you find the precepts, that's the formula, if you stay with the precept, you will not be error, you will not make errors when it comes to the scriptures, man. Y'all will continue to show you the things in the scriptures, and we'll continue to come into an understanding of things. But it takes diligence. That's study. It takes studying. It takes commitment, and it takes a heart toward Yah. And when all those things are working together, then Yah will unseal those scriptures and start revealing the truth. Now remember what I said on last week. There are some good people who have taught or maybe is teaching the scriptures wrong. Wrongly. They're good people. They're good-hearted people. But the issue is because I was one of those people. One of those persons at the time. At one time. And the reason why I understand it is because I did it in the past. And one of the things that caused me to understand what was going on in the body is I got to the point where I quit being worried about what other people was going to think about what I was teaching. There are a lot of people who know the truth. There are a lot of preachers who will tell you we are Israel of all races. But the reason why they refuse to tell the truth is because of fear.
You mean like openly?
Yes.
Like from their pulpit?
Yeah.
They tell you private audience.
Yes.
But then they won't necessarily preach that.
They won't do it openly. Because of fear. And so you have a lot of people who stick with the rapture because they're afraid to teach the truth. They're afraid to teach the gathering. So they'll teach on the tithe because they're afraid to tell people what the tithe really is. Nowhere in the Bible tithe is money. Never has been, never will be. But preachers made it money because it was a gimmick that caused preachers to be able to get money to get things paid for. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with supporting the church financially, but just call it what it is. Don't take it out of the contextual meaning and start saying that the tithe is money. Well, it used to be food back then, but today we don't have crops. So now it's money. Well, we're finna get put to the test of that in days to come, so to speak. Because when that dollar fell, then what you gonna tithe with? And so that's what the issue is. You have a lot of people who are afraid, and you have these gatekeepers, and these people make efforts to hinder ministries that teach the stuff we teach. They will make effort to hinder that. You'd be surprised the systems and things like that that's in place to keep that from happening.
Because they don't want to upset the apple cart. Yep. They have a formula that's working for them to generate what they want and put people in the position of that they want them, right? So they don't want nothing coming along that's going to upset the apple cart, that's going to make waves, that's going to, you know, potentially cause them to be toppled from off the top of the heap.
And that's what it boils down to. Everybody want to be at the top of the heap. And if you went on something like TBN and you taught that the tithe was food and showed people in the scriptures where it is, shoot, you think them folks going to keep you on there?
Messing up their money train. They need all the people to pay them tithes.
Because you're messing up. There you go. You're messing up TBN's money. You're messing up all the preachers who come on their money. You're messing with everybody's money. So it's like, no, you are a danger. You are a danger when you teach truth. So the gatekeepers will keep you out of there. You can go read, I can't say it enough, you can read the book of John, and you can see the Pharisees and the Sadducees were gatekeepers. And when Christ bust through the gates of hell, they was weary, and they said, we got to kill him. Even to the point to where they said, it is better to kill one man in order to save the whole nation. They literally said that. It's better to kill one man than to kill the whole nation. Because they felt that what Christ was doing was going to cause the Romans to now come after Israel, because the prophesied king of Israel was on the scene. And so these are the things that we have to be committed, and we have to make sure that we're standing on the truth, regardless of the issues that happens with us. I'll be honest with you. Yah is in control of the time frame, but you know, we can attest without a doubt that there have been gatekeepers that have tried to do things to hinder our projects, to hinder all facets of the ministry. There has been things that has been put in place to try to hinder those things, and I can show you factual evidence from the federal level, from the state level, and from the local government level, from different organizations, from different churches. You would be shocked to find out the amount or the different types of organizations that have made a commitment to try to hinder United Ministries. You'd be shocked. All races, creeds, colors, you name it. All of them, in one fashion or another, have participated with trying to hinder what we've been called to do as a ministry. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. What is it going on with us that makes us get that much attention? It's like this. If we were false prophets, wouldn't every door open for us? Would the world should welcome us? Because if we are a tool of Satan, and this is Satan's domain right now, we should be able to snap our finger, and everything we desire and wish and want should be happening right now if we're working for the kingdom of darkness. But I like what Christ said. He said, but if you don't believe me, believe it for the very work's sake. Go back and look at all the things that has happened to us as a ministry where we've been minding our own business and folks constantly coming after us. If you don't believe that the enemy is trying to stop us, then you believe it for the very work's sake. But just like our Savior, Christ, they tried to stop him, but they couldn't, because it was ordained, and he was destined to do what he did, and nobody could touch him in fulfilling his purpose, and that's where we are right now. It doesn't matter what's going on as far as the economy is concerned. It doesn't matter what's going on as far as this world is concerned with the wars and rumors of wars. It don't matter what's happening around us. We are still going to accomplish the work of the kingdom because it is ordained by Yah in order for us to do it. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We just have to stay focused and continue to move forward. Okay. Now, back to John 1.
Just had a quick comment. Go ahead. That is what you have to do. That's what the double-mindedness prevents, right? So, like, if you're gonna stand fast for y'all, no matter what the circumstances around, then you got to learn to do that and not doubt. The doubting part is undoes the you stepping out there and you doing what you do. When you doubt, it undoes the stuff that you already do, so it make it impossible for you to go forward because you undo those things that you. So if you say, "Well, I believe this one day," and then the next day you saying something else, it negates all of the stuff that you're doing. And we can't afford to do that in the days that's coming ahead.
Even when you look at as far as doubt is concerned, There may be some circumstances that may happen to all of us that may put us in position where we are not as sure as we have been. But here's when doubt kicks in. Doubt kicks in it's beyond a thought. It is taking on a thought to the point to where it causes a action. That's the opposite of what you were believing in. I'm just trying to think of something, because the scriptures talk about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it says, let not that man think he can ask anything from Yah. So the scripture says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, we become what we think. So I may wake up in the morning and not be as sure. Some things can happen. Well, I may not be as sure as I was right now. You know, there's a struggle taking place. But what causes the doubt to manifest is when tomorrow I allow my actions to start going in the direction of where I'm not sure now. Did y'all hear what I just said? In other words, if you're not sure but you keep moving, faith is not in what you say, it's an action word. It's in your work. So I can be like, man, I'm not for sure, but I'm gonna stand fast. But, you know, help my unbelief. That's what the man said when, in reference to, you know, Christ dealing with his son. So what doubt is when there's something going on in the mind, something going on that affects the mind enough to make your actions stop being what they were before that incident happened. You understand me? you know, because all of us may hit a wall, so to speak. We may hit something where we like, man, this don't happen, I'm gonna crash and burn, you know. Instead of just saying, yeah, no matter what, you know, sometimes we'd be like, oh, this gonna happen no matter what. Then sometimes we'd be like, man, I ain't so confident right now. But what when doubt kicks in is when that mind now forces us to start making decisions, decisions that's the opposite of what we know we initially started out doing or being or whatever. Y'all understand what I mean? Okay, so that's what doubt is. Doubt starts in the mind, but it manifests when your actions change.
So, in a nutshell, when you dwell on those thoughts,
yeah,
to the point that it causes the actions,
the actions change.
Thoughts come, like what you said. Mm-hmm. If it's vain imagination, those are things we have to cast down before they cause us to act upon them.
Mm-hmm. How many? Give you an example. How many times you've been in situation and you heard a voice and you know it was the voice of the enemy that said, you do that, you're going to die. Or you do that, you know, I'm going to kill you. You'll hear something on those orders that will try to put doubt in you to make you, in order to cause us to not have faith that Yah is going to protect us. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my Yah, in him will I trust. So, you know, Psalm 91, we know that. And we like, Yah is my refuge. I'm always protected by him. You know, I'm always in a place of safety with him. And then a circumstance come, or somebody may say something, threaten you or whatever. And at that particular moment, you hear somebody say, you know, like Ahab told Elijah, I'm going to kill you. You know, Jezebel, I'm gonna kill you. Elijah began to doubt, and when he doubted, he went hid. His actions corresponded to what this man, he just got through killing all them prophets. He just got through calling fire down from heaven. And then a woman said she was gonna kill him, and he go hide on the backside of a mountain somewhere. So that's what I'm talking about. That particular threat or whatever reason or anything that has come against you, you got some news about your health or a whole lot of things going on. Now your actions are completely changing. Yes?
Can doubt also be a form of fear, right?
That's what it's based in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I did a study on that, and I wanted to go back and look at my notes on that, but... I believe fear is one of the driving points that can cause people to go into a doubtful mindset, and then it becomes an action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I use myself for an example. There are times when I have gone up to the building, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and. And when I was on my way, the enemy was saying, you're going to die tonight. When you get up there, somebody going to kill you tonight. Now, if that now threat would have affected my mind, then my actions would have changed. I'd been like, well, I ain't going up there. I'm not going, because if I go up there, I may die. That's when we are now operating in doubt, because we have completely forgotten that Yah is our protector. And our trust is in him. And when there are things that go on, even in the weather. Okay, weather start getting crazy. And when the weather start getting crazy, if we're not careful, our mind will start working. Ooh, I hope the tornado don't blow the house away. And if we're not careful, we'll start making decisions that's manifesting doubt, and we'll put ourselves in harm's way. Then we, you know, than thinking that thing out and having our trust in Yah and know that Yah is, you know, he said that it's going to happen through Christ, and he told us, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. So that's what I'm saying. We all can find some area where we were not sure what our faith walk. But when we start to encounter those areas, that's when we got to make our commitment to be steadfast and standing on the word, regardless of how we feeling or what's going on in the mind right now.
So I'm gonna ask this question, or from an analogy standpoint. So it's like if we on a journey and we head to a destination, mm-hmm. it's one thing to stop, but it's another thing to turn around and go back the other direction. Okay, I see something on the road, I'm unsure, so I stop. Mm-hmm. Versus me seeing something on the road and be like, well, let me go back this way.
Exactly.
It's the action that you're carrying mm-hmm. in front of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to stop. Mm-hmm. But that ain't stop me from going forward. It's just that, okay, now I'm going to make this next little step. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to turn around and start going back mm-hmm. the other direction.
Mm-hmm. I had a person that I trained was trusting Yah to stay away from the vaccine. And she ended up getting COVID. And she was like, when I got COVID, then I started contemplating, you know, well, man, maybe it'd be on the safe side if I just go ahead and take the vaccine. And so at one while, you know, when COVID hadn't hit her, you know, faith was strong. My trust is in Yah. Yah is going to protect me. But when COVID hit, it was like, oh, Lord, wait a minute. I need to go get another protector now, vaccine. And, so, you know, she asked me advice on it. I was like, you know, you do whatever you need to do. But my trust is in Yah. And if your trust is in Yah and the vaccine, then you do whatever you feel like you need to do to keep your walk right with Yah. However way he leading you, let him lead you. But how he lead me, he telling me to stay away from it. Well, it's information coming out now to explain why. They was trying to conceal that. They was trying to conceal the evidence for, I think, 55 years. Well, they got to unseal all that and reveal all the data by the end of this year. I don't know if y'all know that. So we finna find out all this stuff. They making them come forward with it. So it was initially they was gonna seal it for 55 years, but the judge ruled and said you gotta have it all out by the end of this year. All the evidence, all your data, everything. You gotta show it to the public. And so it's going to be interesting to see, but things like that. So I'll say it this way: where we start out in faith, let it end in faith. And there may be time where we may have a little bit of a struggle here and there, but still let it end in faith. It's easy to trust Yah when we're on the mountaintop. But can we trust him when we're right in the middle of it and there ain't nothing going right and it's still crazy? Can you still say, Yah, you able? You know? Thank you. Yes. I never forget it. I used to preach how Yah bless you when I was homeless and sleeping in classroom with my wife and girls. Still preaching how good God is and how he can bless you. They had a pot to pee in. Yes?
And during those times, is that where the proper, I can't find the exact word, I don't want to say elaboration of the scripture, but is that the perfect opportunity to use that scripture where it says,
Paul said,
God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind? Is that what it's saying? Because that's what came to mind when you just said that, you know, keeping your trust in Yah, you know, when you're going through these things, when you're actually truly tested, going through the valley, mm-hmm. you know, fear and doubt, it can, you know, if you let it, And if you give in to that, it can cause a distraction, pull you off task, and make you forget who you truly are, who you truly serve, you know, and cause you to react. So fear, I don't know, just correct me if I'm right or wrong, but fear, like you said before, it can cause distraction. But he says, you can't, God can give you the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind. From what I remember, you can't have a sound mind if you're operating in fear, which is also doubt.
Correct. Now, just show you, just to show you how this is. First of all, I'll say this here. I don't guess we're going to get talked about John one today. No, there's no apology. Y'all take us where he wants us to go. Okay? Y'all take us wherever he wants us to go, and wherever he wants us to go is right. And so if we get to John, fine. If we don't, we still fine. Now, let's just all be honest. You're not going to hear this on Christian Network. You're not going to hear what I'm about to say. It may be, you may be, but not, odds are you're not. Because, you know, Christians are made to believe that they're superhuman. And we all made to appear perfect instead of just striving. All of us have not been sure about something in our walk with Yah. All of us have had a certain form of anxiety which would point to a certain level of fear, stress. All of us have been weary in this walk at one time or another. We all be honest. Now, I want to encourage you in this. Even Christ was weary in his walk. He knew what he was born to do. He knew what he was called to do. He talked about it to his disciples. But when the time came, even he.
If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass me.
Luke 22. Let's just read it. Luke 22, I'm going to start at verse 40, just for the sake of time. It says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. He was saying, I don't want to do it.
Is it any kind of way I can get out of
this? I'm the son of God, but can we go another route right now? I'm stressing right now. That's why scriptures say he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
We don't even say it. One of those, he was to the point where he was sweating blood.
We're finna read it. Now he said, not my, nevertheless, not my will. I don't. Hey, can we like skip this death part? At that particular moment, he had concerns. At that particular moment, it was something wrestling going on with the Son of Yah to the point where he was like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just not sure right now. Can we do something else? So when you look at will, look at verse 42. Look at the word will, because he said, not my will. He said, not my choice. Not my pleasure. This ain't pleasing to me. Not my determination. I don't want to do this. Not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Y'all, we all need strengthening sometime. If Christ, the Son of Yah, has to be strengthened at time when he going through something, we need some strength too. When I have them not sure moments, I need some strength, and y'all strengthens me every time. I'm not walking around here like I'm this superhuman. I just trust y'all for everything. Sometimes I be like, oh, Lordy. Woo.
But I think what's awesome in that moment is he turned to y'all. It ain't like he pretended, oh,
that's the key.
Got no problems. Man. You know, okay, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm coming to you.
That's what I said that was when we turn the opposite direction. When we start to, it's some things that happen in the mind, just like the same way things were happening to Christ. And Christ was like, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, let me focus on the source to keep me on the path that's necessary to do what I've been born to do. As Elder mentioned, Christ wasn't going down the road and saw that bump and said, well, let me turn around and just go completely back. He wanted to. But he focused on Yah and said, not what I want to do. I'm going to keep pressing forward. Every time I have been weary in my well-doing, Yah always strengthened me. Because in that particular weariness, I still kept my focus on him. I didn't start focusing on the problem, because when you start focusing on the problem, you start making decisions that are ungodly. You start making decisions that don't make no sense. You start making decisions that get us out of the will of Yah. So in those particular moments, although it is some nevertheless, I don't want to go down this road, I still trust you, Yah. It ain't about what's going on in my head. It's about where I'm still headed. Verse 44, and being in agony, what is agony? See, church folks don't be in agony. We always playing in flowers. Looks at a struggle. Christians ain't, you the devil if you ain't saved if you struggle. That's what church folks say. A struggle, anguish, you see it? Being in agony. Christ was struggling during that time. He was in agony. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Y'all, when we start to doubt, the more the mind is wrestling, that's the more we need to pray. When we're struggling with our walk with Yah and the mission by which he's given us, that's the time we need to focus on him the most. To the focusing on the problem. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was added with drops of blood falling down to the ground. It wasn't blood. His sweat was like it. Okay. That's okay.
Pour it out.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Because that's how we traditionally taught. I used to teach the same way. I said, he was sweating blood. Y'all said, boy, read. He was sweating as blood. Because what happens when you cut something? You get a deep wound. It's just pouring out. That's how he was sweating. Now that lets you know he was stressing big time to be sweating like that. And if we all be honest, we've been in some of those sweaty situations ourselves. But in those sweaty situations, it is where we kept our focus on to determine whether we were doubting and operating in fear or not. You remember nothing else. Remember this. In your sweaty situation, pray earnestly the more. Focus on Yah the most. Man, when stuff get crazy, the crazier get, the closer I get to Yah. The more I focus on him, the more I start to shit everything else out, because at that particular moment, I am wrestling. I am struggling with my destiny, and because I'm struggling with my destiny, I got to focus on the one who gave it to me. He always strengthens. Okay. I just wanted to show you that part in Luke 22, just to encourage you to really understand the difference between doubting, which is fear associated, and not being sure sometime, but you're still moving forward. Doubt causes us to change our course. Okay. If you haven't changed your course, you are not walking in doubt.
So would you say is doubt is when you act on those fears?
Yes. It's an emotion. It is an emotion that causes us to put an action with it that is the opposite of what we originally was commissioned to do. That's what doubt is. Okay. And, so remember these things, in days to come as we continue to look at these scriptures and I'm not going to even deal with them. I just think it's a good place to stop here. We'll come back to John chapter 1 for Sabbath service, and we'll continue to walk it out and finish it. And we have to be, we just have to, stand on the scriptures and allow Yah to, to give us an understanding of what He intent, what His intent is, instead of approaching things from a traditional point of view, and allowing these gatekeepers to keep us off course, because what they have established benefits them, but it's hurtful to the body. We want to be a blessing to the body, and we want to become the unified body in Christ that is necessary to reach this world. And so we got to follow the precepts. We got to follow the pattern. All right. I'll stop there. I think it's a good place to stop. Any questions, comments? We're good. Okay. Father, I always just bless your name. We thank you for just giving us the mindset to stay steadfast and unmovable in reference to the scriptures. We just ask you to show us everything. Don't withhold anything from us, and we know you won't. And we just bless you for that, and we just count it a privilege to be in this position to have the scriptures unsealed and revealed to us. It is indeed the process by which you're shedding your love upon us. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.